Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not like that. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com is joining us. Good morning to you, Ken.
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
Not good. I mean, I hate losing. I mean, this loss reminds me of 2024. Was it week 13? Lose 24-19 to the Philadelphia Eagles. A game that the score was, I mean, the game was worse than the score. Eagles just completely just manhandled the Baltimore Ravens in that game. Ravens came back and won four in a row, but the difference is that next week they had the Giants up in New Jersey. This week they have Kansas City, the Chiefs in Kansas City. Your thought, do you see a comparison between those two games?
Perfect comp. And that's the game they backdoored it to a one-score game is certainly a part of the comp. But the bigger thing maybe is they got dominated on the lines on both sides of the ball. The offensive line for the Eagles and this last week for Monday for the Lions was just too big and too strong for what the Ravens had to offer up front. The Ravens went into this game very undermanned and got badly outmuscled on both sides of the ball. The loss of Madubuike was huge. The loss of Travis Jones potentially this week is even bigger. He left the game. I don't know if you guys caught it, but at the end tried to return and then begged out after one snap. So he's got some sort of a lower leg injury, it would appear, from just watching the game tape.
Well, they did have significant injuries, but so did the Lions. Like their interior line was very suspect, according to what I heard. Yet they just completely bullied and out-muscled the Ravens' defensive line. The big question, I thought at the macro level, and then get into particulars like the pass rush and run defense, can this defense be fixed at all?
Yeah, I think that's really the question. So you look back at the big Ravens fix ever in season, it was in 2019, and they really flushed the toilet on major elements of that defense, including the inside linebacker group. Then they got Jihad Ward, and then the crown jewel on that was picking up Marcus Peters, of course, at midseason. And he was a distressed asset when they got him. He was giving up over 9 yards per target with the Rams. They thought he was completely fried, so they traded him for, you know, a bag of chips, essentially. Yeah. And ended up being all pro that season, you know, for the Ravens. I don't see that kind of a move coming along very often. The Roquan Smith move in 22 turned the defense around with one player. I'm not sure the Ravens defense is one player away anywhere. And being down the absolute pass rush battery of this team of Jones and Madubuike, they're the guys who play together on basically every high leverage down for the Ravens. That would just be enormous. I'm hoping it's nothing serious for Jones, but we'll see.
So, Ken, there was the audio going around of Chris Canty just killing the team with how they played and getting manhandled. And one of the guys he brought up was Malachi Starks getting an open run in the hole and getting, as he put it, slowly run over by David Montgomery. What are your thoughts on what we've seen, not only from the back end on this defense, but, you know, from Malachi in his first year?
So Malachi Starks has had some problems so far on the back end, and he was a guy at Georgia who played all over the place, played some slot corner, and the Ravens really need him to be a free safety. They need Hamilton to be the Hamilton-type player, not Starks to be the Hamilton-type player, in very simple terms. He took some really bad angles to the runner, including on the 72-yard run. You know, was part of the problem in terms of not making a tackle. Had a tough day, couple missed tackles, and at least maybe have three, depending on who's scoring it. And tough game for him.
Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, we've been going back and forth because, I mean, as sports, you always look for the fall guy. Whose fault is it? Is this a game of poor execution or poor game planning? Defensively. Defensively.
I think they were way too outmanned to put up a reasonable fight against the Lions in this game. And what they did pass rush, right, they did try everything or tried everything. The frustrating thing about the Lions offensively and Goff in particular is you blitzed him or stunted or you simulated pressure. Each one of those resulted in over 8 yards per throw. It's not like any one of them you could pick out and say, okay, maybe we have something we can work with here. They tried all kinds of different rush by numbers. All of that resulted in very similar statistics across the board. Goff was just very good at reading hot when he needed to, reacting to what the defense was giving him. And he's not a, you know, a big long ball threat or anything, but he is a guy who can, you know, push the ball around a little bit in the intermediate levels and make some good short throws to his playmakers. He was effective doing it. And sometimes you got to tip your hat. Sometimes the other guy is just better at taking advantage of what you do.
One of the you mentioned was the obviously the pass rush. We talk about Madubuike and Jones. Obviously, Van Noy is out. I got that. But we've actually been at the top of the league the last couple of years without a real pass rusher on that roster. And I haven't seen the things that I saw, like under Michael McDonald, like not a lot of unusual twisting, you know, and safety blitzes, you know, unusual stunts that really make up for having a Myles Garrett on the team. And I just haven't seen that, so they're not getting any pressure. It looks like they're going straight ahead very often. They'll do a corner blitz or a safety blitz, but again, it's right down the pipe. And I just haven't seen this unless you see something else on tape, and please tell me if I'm wrong. Why is there like zero pass rush now?
Okay, so the last two, let's separate kind of the 24 to the present from 23 and before, because that's the McDonald era.
Right.
And you go back even to the Martindale era if you want to, but let's stick with the McDonald era versus the Orr era. McDonald took a while to get his sea legs and did finally get it right. And in 23, they led the league in sacks, I believe, because they're a triple crown defense.
Yeah.
And then in 24, they're second in the league in sacks with not a whole lot of pass rush talent in total on the team. I think that was a real testament to Orr because they didn't have good safeties either. And think about how hard it is to, you know, get the coverage sacks and the second chance sacks you need if you don't have good coverage on the back end. We're working with three games and three sacks. That's terrible. You know, it's not where it needs to be. I don't think this team has the horses right now to get back into a league leading sack position or in the top five even. I think this is a team that's going to really struggle to get sacks. They played some good teams, but yeah, I think that they're going to struggle to get sacks this year at anything like the same level. They don't have to though. The defense doesn't have to be pulled around sacks, but it makes things a lot easier when you can get pressure.
It's so weird because, like, as I'm looking at it this week, I think they're in trouble in Kansas City. I think we wind up 1-3 here in Baltimore and still trying to figure things out. And if the Travis Jones injury, if you don't have him and with a team that still struggles running the football, they're going to have success running it. And if you're not getting a pass rush on Pat Mahomes, I don't care if every receiver he has is slow as hell unless he gets Xavier Worthy back. I think they're in trouble this week. What are your thoughts on just how they match up? Because it's been a comedy of errors in Kansas City with what can go wrong does go wrong.
Right. I mean, I think you have to look first to the offensive side of the ball. If you're going to pressure the Chiefs, you need to be able to stay in a boat race with them and really get ahead of them.
Right.
The Ravens got ahead of the Lions in that third quarter, and then they lost the lead to let the game get tied, and then they lost the initiative by losing the ball and giving it back to Kansas City. And from that, giving back to the Lions, and from that point forward, Detroit really had the Ravens. In Kansas City, if that happens again, if we get into a typical Baltimore Kansas City game where Baltimore is trying to fight back to get in the game, I think it'll be a very tough day for the Ravens. But I think that, you know, if they can get ahead, if they can get the offense to any more semblance of drive sustaining, then they got a chance.
Ironically, the Ravens favored by 2.5 in Kansas City.
Jeremy thinks it could be 1-3. Can this team right now that 1-2, and people are questioning how good are they? So I want you to answer that question from what you observe from film and also just watching the game in general. Up next right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
8:16 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Kim Cusick's joining us from filmstudybaltimore.com. Baltimore Ravens are 1-2. You heard Marlon Humphrey. He said this team's not very good right now. I think that's more of a testament, I mean, an indictment on what they are now, not a bigger picture thing. But I'm going to ask you, from what you see, are the Baltimore Ravens a team not as good as we thought they would be?
Well, they're certainly not as good as we hoped they would be.
Moving forward.
Yeah. Going forward, I think this is a team that has a lot of ways to struggle through and win football games. They're a flawed team now, it appears, defensively and on both lines. They have some serious issues, but they also have a ton of playmakers. It's as great a skill position group as the Ravens have ever had. They have a great secondary still, I believe. A lot of assets there and some players maybe they could tap who were even in the TJ Tampa or Keon Martin or Lowry, who can come in as replacements. I'm still optimistic about what this team can do this year. It's just they've lost a big opportunity for the playoffs with the loss to the Bills. If Jeremy is right and they lose to the Chiefs, they're almost out of the number two seed, or they're in a lot of trouble for the number two seed. They still have a very good chance to win the division, even losing this game. But it's gonna be a slog.
Yeah, it will. The good news is, even if they lose to the Chiefs, the rest of the season, this is a very tough schedule. We knew this was coming anyway. But the rest of it, other than like maybe the Rams, the Packers in Green Bay, these are very winnable games for this team. So they could end up with, 13-4, or 12-5. It's possible, honestly. But still, there's problems. But I guess to start with what we see here, offensive line or the injuries, how much do we miss Ricard in this?
Ricard and consistent offensive line play are the reason the run game hasn't got going. It's the reason there's a high barbell of results there. The Ravens need to get back to that. That's the heart and soul of this offense, is being able to do what the Lions did to the Ravens on Monday night, which is have the audacity and have the willingness to go for it on fourth down because your running game is so dominant. The 2019 Ravens had that, and they're the highest scoring team in team history still. This team is scoring at a higher rate, which is the crazy thing.
They're the most points in the league.
Yeah, but the other problem is it's points per drive, any measure you want to do. The Ravens are going to be number one. But the problem is it's all barbelled results, and so they have a bunch of short drives. That's putting an incredible tax on the defense. It's almost like a tax on their own scoring to score so quickly that it's worth less.
I'll say this. I mean this. If Ricard was in, and it wouldn't have changed the fortunes of the game, I think, he would have neutralized Hutchinson and Muhammad. He would have, because he could absolutely match up with these guys. And when he kicks out the ends, he creates that off-tackle, that big off-tackle hole for Henry. It's a huge loss.
So, Ken, as we look at, you kind of touched on the running game here, but as we look at the offensive line and what's gone on with them in specific, Flele's been a big topic of conversation. How do you think he's done so far this year, and what do you make of this team? Because now you get Chris Jones, and that's no peach to deal with.
Right. Oh, I mean, Falele has actually been a lot better than people are saying. He's far from the real problem this line.
Is it the case that, like, when he's bad, let's say he had 10 plays and one of them's bad, that play stands out so bad that he was bad on that play that people are like, oh my God, he's terrible?
I think that's true. And I think the reason is he's kind of got a slow moving kind of an oafish quality that people will always try and project onto every single play. Since nobody really studies offensive line player, very, very few people do it. There's
well, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. I'm telling you. This is the,
you love it.
I do. I love it. I'll just say that he looks terrible, but actually plays a little better than that. He's a triumph of function over form.
Okay. That's kind of where I thought you were going with that when we talked about it before, because, again, if Pro Football Focus and you are seeing the same thing that everybody else is seeing, it's like, all right, so what is it? Is it just that the singular plays are so bad, but over the whole he's been fine?
Yeah. The other thing is, he's a good pass blocker who doesn't get penalties. I can tell you, as far as weighting an offensive line scoring system, those are like the two most important things. You got to be good at pass blocking because it's like on base percentage relative to slugging. It's way more important. Mm-hmm. You got to not get penalties because they're some of the biggest variants that you can bring to an offense, and they have a big component of stalled drives that goes along with them. So the players who do that well, and he's one of them, are going to be good, even if they're poor run blockers. They have poor mobility. They look indecisive at times, and he's got all of that going as well.
Ken McKusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. 2 weeks in a row, the Ravens failed to rush for over 100 yards. And I know that's, you know, we talked about all the guys they're missing. They've not done that. That's un-Lamar Jackson era-like. Mm-hmm. Ken, is this just a product of the opponents? Because they played two very good defensive lines, and the Lions and the Browns. So this is something that should be concerning moving forward.
First of all, the Lions and the Browns are both great defensive teams, at least in this way. The Lions pack the box like crazy, and they dare you to throw the ball. So you have to oblige them and throw the ball over that defense. They play a ton of man. They also play, they're one of the few teams that does this. They'll play their 4-3 base defense versus 11 personnel a fair amount of the time. Almost always, Pat Kerwin calls it forcing the nickel when you put a third receiver on the field. You force the other team to go into this later thing. And it's a lot of teams prefer to run the ball by forcing the nickel and then running against a smaller unit. The Lions just will have none of that, and they've got fairly athletic linebackers. And Jackson, fortunately, did make them pay in the passing game. So, these last two teams, that's as tough a test as you can have trying to run the ball with an average offensive line.
So, if we could look forward to next week and go back to Jeremy's prediction, Mahomes is the king of short pass success. More touchdowns on screens than anybody else. It just lacerates defenses with those short passes. The Ravens are playing very soft right now. They're playing off the ball. They're vulnerable. They're vulnerable to every pass. I mean, there were guys. Amon-Ra St. Brown was so open in some place. There was nobody in the TV shot with him. I don't know how that happens in the NFL. So how do you fix that this week? And do you think they will be successful against the Chiefs?
So I think they don't have a lot of fixes available to them that are changes they can make schematically, but they have one that they could try, and that is moving Hamilton up into the box and playing a very, very more extensively in terms of dime packages. I think that could be done. I don't know if they will do it, but if you want to take away the strong side of the football field and take away some of the things that Mahomes does well, Hamilton up front will help a lot. I don't know if they have the trust in Lowry to play the back end. I think Kane, is a good overall player and a special teams player. I don't think they really trust him on the back end the way they trust Lowry. Sometimes one snap will tell you, Ed, and the last snap of the first half, Lowry was on the back end and not Kane. 7 DBs in the game. Right. No Kane, but Lowry was back there at safety.
We saw Mark Andrews make an appearance, maybe getting some fans kind of off his back as he had a very good game. But Zay disappeared. What did you see when you watched the film?
Yeah, so that was unfortunate, obviously. This was a game where they probably schemed some to get some guys back in the game, Bateman and Andrews in particular, to get them back into the offense. So I think that was good. Need to rebuild some of that trust. Hopkins was there again in terms of trust. Great to see the nice corner route by Walker. But Zay was lost, and I was a little surprised by it because when you're facing a team that likes to play so much base defense, you would think that Zay Flowers would just have a field day going between the linebackers and the safeties. Now, the two safeties for Detroit, two of their most dangerous players, Branch and Kirby Joseph, are two of their best defensive players, so they might want to have kept the ball away from them, which means go outside the numbers a little bit, and they did some of that with...
Branch should have had a pick. He dropped it.
Yeah.
Hey, tell us all about... Film Study Baltimore, Ken McKusick.
Yep, so filmstudybaltimore.com is the website. I'm at Film Study Ravens on Twitter. You got a defense article out there right now, which goes over a lot of the woes of what they tried against the Lions. And we got an offensive line article be out this afternoon and with scoring that is surprisingly better than you would think.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.